Hello, good evening, and welcome to Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. Coming up, we'll be looking at the climate bill and its implications for farmers. But first, we're going to look at an initiative that can save farmers money while also maximising output. To tell me more, I'm joined by Harold Kingston, chairman of the IFA's Environment and Rural Affairs Committee. Good evening, Harold. Thanks for joining us. Well, smart farming, it does, I suppose, what it says on the tin. So planning ahead can really save you money.
Absolutely. I'm delighted to be involved in this particular initiative because when I started out first in terms of looking at what happens within the Environment Committee for IFA, an awful lot of it is dealing with regulations, be it nitrates, be it the climate legislation, be it whatever, you know, new rules of the road for tractors, all this kind of stuff. And we saw basically a loop there where we could actually make use of an awful lot of the information that's already available with Chagas, with the Federation of Group Water Schemes, with the EPA, with the Fertilizer Association and so on, and bring it all together in a way that saves money and also saves the environment as well. So it's a win-win for everybody, a double dividend as we call it. And we've brought it together, we've called it Smart Farming, and this year we involved roughly 600 farmers in discussion groups all over the country, where we did cost saving studies on those on one farm in each of the groups, and then came back and had a farm walk on that particular farm, and we identified savings of 6,600 per farm per year, which is fairly significant, and those savings would be covering things like soil fertility, things like water use, proper feed use, reducing inputs and reducing waste. And they're available to anybody who wants to actually invest in the idea of better resource management. And when I say about investing, if you look, for instance, at water, and everybody is thinking about water at the moment because of the hullabaloo, as we'll call it, for Irish water. But in a number of cases, what was identified on dairy farms in particular, but also on beef finisher units, is the availability of water to animals is actually critical. And if you look at dairy cows, for instance, one of the farms that was assessed, they identified that because of the lack of water, there was a loss in yield of 2 litres per cow per day, which adds up quite significantly because the cow was drinking the right amount of water, but she wasn't getting it in time. And a cow will actually drink a third of her requirement within a few minutes of milking. So immediately after evening milking in particular, you need to have big volumes of water available for cows to drink.
Are people surprised at these findings?
Yeah, it's surprising. Like we always knew that it's important to use your resources wisely. We always knew that cows need enough water to drink. But it was by actually putting it all together and looking at it in terms of, rather than just simply focusing on one item within a farm, by focusing on it in a whole farm aspect and, you know, looking at the energy use, looking at the fertilizer, looking at making use of information that was already available through Chagas, through UCD and so on, these savings are available. Now, not every farm will make use of every one of the savings because some farms will already have enough of a water system in place, whether it's to do with having the right size pipe or the right size water trough and so on. But even looking, for instance, at fertilizer use, And soil fertility, there's only 10% of Irish soils are actually at the optimum level of soil fertility, whether you're looking at things like pH, P and K levels. So if you have index 3 for P and K and you have the correct pH for your lime, then you will get your optimum use of your nitrogen and your optimum use of the rain that falls on the field and so on in order to grow your grass properly. If any of those are wrong, then you're not going to get the savings. So, for instance, one of the savings that was found was that one particular farm was lacking quite a substantial amount of lime. About 2.5 tonnes of lime per acre was spread on 60% of the farm. That costs 4,500. So it's not that you're going to get a free saving just simply to pick it up. You have to invest in order to get this. But that was showing a two-year payback because if your lime isn't right, you're actually losing around 2 bags of can per year availability from the per acre, because the soil simply won't release the nitrogen properly. So the saving came back fairly quickly.
You mentioned there, Tiagos and UCD, one of the strengths of this whole initiative is that you have so many groups involved that are backing it, so the expertise really is there.
Yeah, there was no point in IFA going out and trying to do research which had already been done. There was no point in us going out and setting up as an advisory service, because that's not what we're about. The whole purpose behind this is to find ways of saving farmers money. And also it has this spin-off of also looking after the environment, because we very much tied it in with research that had been done by Tiagos and Johnstone Castle to do with what's known as the MAC curve, where it's the marginal abatement cost curve. So basically, if you look at something such as growing grass properly, such as EBI, such as finishing cattle quicker, all of those things will save you money. And they will also help in terms of the carbon emissions coming from agriculture in Ireland as well, which is something that we all have to watch on top of making sure we get an income.
My guest this evening is Harold Kingston, chairman of the IFA's Environment and Rural Affairs Committee. We're talking about smart farming. Harold, there's obviously big regional variations and discrepancies, and I presume that's the case as well when it comes to smart farming. Things that will work in one part of the country won't necessarily work in another.
To a certain extent, yes, but what is very important is making you, when you talk about resources and you talk about use of land or use of your ability to grow grass, any field is capable of growing grass or a crop or whatever particular enterprise you're in. The key then is actually making use of it, because if I'm a tillage farmer and I plant wheat and I don't harvest it properly and leave half of it in the field, then I'm not going to get full value for it. Likewise with grass, an awful lot of it is actually making sure that you use it, because some of the amazing figures, if you look at the trials that have been done by Tiagos in terms of measuring the amount of grass that's possible to grow, the Ballyhays results are within around a half a ton of dry matter to the Moorpark results. So it is possible to grow the grass. Part of the key is actually getting the cattle out early enough to make use of spring grass and keeping them out long enough, cutting silage at the right time, because, you know, if you don't get the proper DMD of silage and get it digestible enough, then you'll have to buy in more ration, and that's something that you wouldn't have had to do if you cut it at the right time. And if you cut it at the right time, you will also get faster regrowths. So an awful lot of it is, you know, for wet ground, making sure that your roadways are up to scratch so that you can physically access the land. In dry land, such as I'm blessed in a way of having dry land, but I'm also cursed because of having dry land, because if I get a dry summer, I'll run out of grass very quickly. But it means making use of whatever surplus of grass that happens in the early part of the year in order to keep me going then, such as what happened last August, where most people grew a phenomenal amount of grass last August. I was caught just for the month of August, and I had to feed some of the bales that I made early in the year. But if I didn't actually do that properly and didn't have the measurements in place and know how much grass I had available, then I would have had to go out buying ration instead, which would have been an extra cost, which I didn't have to do.
There is a guide available all about smart farming, and there are a number of tips. A lot of people looking at it, if we have the money and we can invest, there's no end to what we can do. Are there certain measures that seem to be more popular and maybe not as expensive in the short run?
I think actually, if you look at, for instance, now one of the things that came across very much was in terms of feeding of the proper feed that an animal needed. You know, if you have a growing animal, making sure that it's a protein feed is what they get. If you have a finishing animal, then it's a high energy feed. And in most cases, from the research that UCD has done, in particular now for our project, the lack of energy is the big thing. So grass will produce an awful lot of protein and a certain amount of energy, but for something like a milking cow in a stress situation will need to get in more energy. Something like a finishing animal definitely will need to have a higher rate of energy than is possible to get off of grass alone at certain times, and especially to, you know, when you're in the serious production side of it. So for a lot of people going out buying rations, it's buying the right ration and so on, and using the proper ration for the particular animal it's designed for, as opposed to buying one type of ration and expecting everything to do rightly on it. Likewise with fertilizer, you know, if you buy a ton of 10-10-20 or whatever it is, and you spread it in the wrong fields, you'll have the expense, but you won't have got the benefit. So, you know, while a lot of people are doing soil testing, they mightn't be using the soil test properly. And that seems to be something that's coming back to us when we look at all the various schemes that people have to take soil tests for. In a lot of cases, the soil tests aren't used properly in terms of distributing the fertilizer in the right place. So you might actually be going out buying the fertilizer and spending the money, or you might be buying the ration and spending the money, but you mightn't be using it in the right way. So, for instance, we found one particular set of parlor feeders where the right amount of feed was going to the cows through the parlor feeders, but because they weren't evenly matched, cows that were supposed to be getting 2 kilos, one cow was getting 1 kilo, and another cow farther down the line was getting 4. So that wasn't going to work properly, even though the right total amount of ration was being fed, it wasn't being fed evenly across the herd.
Now, if any of our listeners want to find out more about smart farming and this IFA-backed initiative, what should they do? Where can they go?
Okay, the easiest way of finding it is smartfarming.ie. We'll bring you straight into it on the web, or if you're working from a smartphone, if you have the IFA app, which is called iFarm, that's I-F-A-R-M, you can get access to it there. And we are actually currently still taking applications for any farmer that wants to be involved. Anyone who's involved in a discussion group at the moment wants to get involved in this for next year. By contacting the IFA head office, you can register your interest, and you might be involved in getting a free assessment done on your farm for this current year, and be involved directly in it. So we already have 20 farms lined up, or applied anyway, out of the 30 or so that we're going to do this year, and it would be well worthwhile anybody who is interested getting involved in that.
And finally, and briefly, Harold, the climate bill has just been published by the Minister for the Environment, Alan Kelly. From a farming perspective, what does this really mean?
Okay, well, in terms of the Irish climate bill, it's more of a legislative way of putting various things into effect. So the main targets and so on that people will be talking about for climate emissions will be actually coming from European legislation and European targets. And we were delighted there late last year that the European Commission recognised the fact that agriculture is different to other sectors. It's not like transport, it's not like electricity production. Agriculture is involved with so many different aspects of life. You know, if I grow a crop of willow, then that's producing energy, and it's also picking up carbon, and it's part of a crop that a farmer can grow. If I save diesel on my tractor, then, you know, on a calculation method that was actually going to help the transport sector without actually being seen to be helping out agriculture. We have this low carbon method of production in Ireland, primarily focused on bovines and on sheep, using grass, which is something we can grow because of our water availability. And the water availability has to be taken into account. It has been recognised now by this legislation being published by the government this week, that we need to work on a country basis as opposed to simply targeting individual sectors and putting targets that were not going to be possible to do on those sectors. So I think it is going to actually help the growth of agriculture in Ireland, because growth of agriculture in Ireland is actually going to be good for the planet, because we're doing things so well here. If we were to stop doing them here, we would end up then probably having the same level of inputs with a lower output, and actually costing more carbon. And if we stop producing meat and milk here, the likelihood is it is going to be produced somewhere else. We're not creating the market. The market is there. And if it's being produced somewhere else, the likelihood is that it will be actually produced somewhere not quite as efficiently as we can do it here.
And that was Harold Kingston, the chairman of the IFA's Environment and Rural Affairs Committee. Just time for some livestock prices. Cattle prices: steers making €4.15 a kilo, heifers €4.20 a kilo, U-grade bulls, €4.10 a kilo, and R-grade cows, €3.75 a kilo. Sheep prices, lambs up to 24 kilos, €5.45 a kilo, and ewes up to €3.20 to €3.50 a kilo. That's it for another edition of Farming News and Views. From me, Chris Ashmore, a very good evening.